פרשת, פרשת בקוקוסאי. Is one of the two parshiot in the Torah which contains a major tochacha, a major rebuke for Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk after pasuk after pasuk, which talks about the terrible peronios, the terrible things that will happen to Bnei Yisrael if they don't follow Hashem's Torah. But prior to the tochacha, Parshat B'chukosai begins on a very positive note. In B'chukosai Teilechu, what will happen to Bnei Yisrael if they follow in Hashem's mitzvot and they follow in the ways of the Torah? And the Torah goes on to describe wonderful things that will happen to Bnei Yisrael. And the very last thing, the last three words that the Torah ends off the rewards that will happen to Bnei Yisrael in B'chukosai Teilechu, the last three words are Va'oliech Va'olech Eschem Komimiyut. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead us Komimiyut. What's Komimiyut, says Rashi? Komimiyut B'koma Zikufa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead us upright. We'll walk around with pride. And it sounds like a wonderful thing. It must be a wonderful thing. Because that's how the Torah ends off its bracha. But if you take a look at the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asur la'adam shiyahalech arba amos bekoma zakufa. It's forbidden for a person to walk dalet amos upright, bekoma zakufa. Shenemar melocha la'aretz kevodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is all over the world. How can I walk dalet amos bekoma zakufa when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here? And now we have the problem. On the one hand, the Torah promises us HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be molech hasona bekoma zakufa, bekoma miyot. On the other hand, we're prohibited from walking bekoma zakufa. So which one is it? Is it something we look forward to? Is it something that's forbidden for us, to us? I think if we take a look carefully, you'll see there is no contradiction. The Gemara is saying that a person can't walk become Zakufa because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is all over. The presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who am I? What am I? I can walk like a proud peacock, upright with my nose up in the air. The presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas v'Shalom. But in this week's parsha, the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Va'olich eschem komiyut, I will lead you in a way that you walk with pride. It's my decision. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to walk with pride, if he's the one who tells us, Va'olich etchem komimiyut, then certainly we're allowed to walk that way. We're not being haughty in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, this is the way that I will lead you. Then the question is, why? What's so great? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to walk become a zakufa? And I think the answer touches upon a very fundamental point. There are times in our lives, individually, collectively, that we're not so proud of who we are and what we are. There's a famous line from Fiddler on the Roof, where Tevye the milkman, a somewhat different context, looks heavenwards and says, Master of the universe, I know that we are the chosen people, but do you always have to choose us? sometimes we don't say with great pride, Atav v'chatanu mikol ha'amim. We don't feel so wonderful and so great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. Ahavto osanu v'ratzisa banu v'ramatanu mikol ha'am. Sometimes we feel that Nebuch, we got the end of the raw deal. We have a sense of Matan Torah, of Kofa Aleim Har Kegigidus, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us. And we miss out on the Kimu V'Kiblu that we mentioned in Megillas Esther. We feel a little bit of Nebuch about ourselves. Moshe Feinstein was once asked, why is it that there were so many Jews who came over to the United States from Europe and elsewhere from overseas, were Moser Nefesh, to be Shomer Shabbos, which wasn't at all easy in the United States in the 1920s, 1930s. And yet the children aren't Shomer Shabbos. So of course no one answer fits everything. But he said, because it's well known, said Reb Moshe, the Jews would come home on Friday and once again being told that if they don't come in on Saturday, don't bother coming in on Monday. And they would sit there in their house with their krechts, sighing and saying, oi, schwer zu sein Yid. It's difficult to be Jewish. It's difficult to be fruit. And the children didn't see the Mesiras Nefesh. They only heard that it's difficult to be from. So if it's difficult to be from, so I won't be from. Much easier not to be from. Why should I be from? Instead of saying Schwerz is ein Yid, they should have said it's good is ein Yid. It's gewaltig, it's amazing. But they didn't say that. It's Nebuch, this is what I have to do. Unfortunately, I have to be Shomer Shabbos. What can I do? And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us in this parsha. The part of the bracha will be is we'll have great pride in who we are and what we are. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be malicho sonu kol mimiyot. That we won't be embarrassed for what we stand for. That our ideals and our morals and our lifestyle is not Nebuch. It's not schwer, it's not difficult. But it's great, it's wonderful. That we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bocher B'Am Yisrael B'Yahava. He didn't choose us because he wanted someone to pick on. He chose us because he loves us. And everything that he gave to us and gives to us is out of that sense of love. That's Volichaschem Komunit. But why is it? Why is it that all too often we're not so proud of who we are and what we have? Why do we sometimes prefer that it wasn't this way? You try to hide it. Hope that things were different. And I think that the answer is because we make a major mistake. We take a look at what the world values, and we judge what we have by what the world thinks is important. And we forget that very often the world values things that really aren't so valuable. And what's really valuable, what's really important, the world ignores. We can make a tremendous mistake by comparing and evaluating the tremendous gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us
by what the world thinks. The Chafetz Chaim once told an amazing mashal about this idea. It's a mashal that you may have heard before, but I think it's worth repeating. So I want to tell you the story, this mashal that the Chafetz Chaim told. There was once a simple Jew who lived in a shtetl. We'll call him Yankel. And he was very hardworking. But he was a bit of a lo yutzlach. He just didn't have success. He tried to provide for his family. And he tried working hard. But whatever he engaged in, he never really, really found much parnasa. He lived in tremendous poverty. He managed to get basic food so his family wouldn't starve to death. But he always hoped for better. And then one day, a visitor came into the shtetl and started telling an amazing story. And he told the people that there's this island way out in the ocean. That the island is full of diamonds. Wherever you go, you can just pick up diamonds. You can take as many diamonds as you want. No one stops you. But the island is in the middle of nowhere. It's a very dangerous voyage to get to the island. It's a very dangerous voyage to leave the island. There's one ship that if the voyage is successful, comes once a year to the island. And he kept on telling stories about the island. And the people in the town listened to the story. It's a nice story to hear about. And then went on back to their daily business. Everybody except for one. Yankel kept asking more and more questions about this island. Because for Yankel, this wasn't going to be just a story. This is going to be his plan. This is how he's finally going to make it. He's going to go to that island. At first he doesn't tell anybody about it. But slowly, but surely, in his mind, you all hope this is a false alarm. Slowly but surely, in his mind, he starts figuring out how he's going to do that. He's going to need to beg and to borrow and to make enough money, to get enough money to afford to get to the passageway to the island. Somehow or another, he's going to have to leave his family for a long period of time. But finally, he decides he's going to do this. And he starts, and he asks money, and he has to borrow, etc. His wife hears about it. She says, Yankel, are you crazy? Bist du mishige? He says, what are you going to do? He says, no, no, no. His wife tries to talk him out of it. His friends try to talk him out of it. He's dead set on going. He's going to go to this island. And finally, having somehow or another raised enough money to buy passageway, that fateful day comes, and he gets in the horse, in the wagon, to take him from the shtetl to the big city, from which he's going to have to take trains till he can get to the coast, from which he's going to have to book passage on the ship to go to the island. He's on the horse and buggy, his wife is crying, his kids are hysterical. The women in the town and the men in the town are whispering amongst each other that Nebuch and his poor wife, she'll probably never see him again. What's going to be? What's going to be with the children? Ben Yankel is determined. And he goes off and he waves goodbye and as the wagon turns around the bend, they wave and the people in the town are convinced that that's the last time they'll ever see Yankel again. But Yankel is determined. It gets to the city, it gets to the train, it gets to the port. It's a 6-month journey. Till everything goes. Traveling on the high seas, storms and pirates, and who knows what. But he finally, after an exhausting 6-month journey, arrives at this island. He's totally exhausted. Just needs a place to stay. He gets off the boat and he asks somebody, where's the local inn? They point him in the direction and he starts to walk. And all of a sudden he looks down and he sees diamonds. Diamonds. Everywhere. They're just diamonds. He can't believe it. He bends down and he starts picking up diamonds and he puts it in one pocket. The pocket is full and he takes diamonds and he puts it in a second pocket. And then he starts putting it in his pants pocket. And he fills up all his pocket in his shirt pocket. He's bulging in diamonds. And he picks up his hat, he puts diamonds here, puts diamonds everywhere, diamonds. Can't believe, diamonds, diamonds. And he says, this is ridiculous. I'm going to go and I'm going to buy myself a suitcase. I'm going to fill a suitcase. Not a suitcase, a trunk. Not a trunk, I'll buy 10 trunks. I'll fill them all with diamonds. They'll have so many on. He can't believe it. All of a sudden he stops and he looks around. And everybody else on the island is just walking along. Ignoring the diamonds. Nobody's picking up diamonds. Nobody's stuffing their pockets. He doesn't understand. But he's not going to give up. He's still... His pockets are full. He puts more diamonds in. As he put diamonds in, diamonds fall out because there isn't any more room, but he keeps stuffing it in. And he gets to the local inn and he says he wants to rent the room. He asks him where there's a luggage store that sells suitcases, like big suitcases. He doesn't tell him. And then he sort of nonchalantly asks, I'm walking on the streets and I see everybody walking and nobody's picking up the diamonds. He said, what are you talking about? That those, stones? He says, why should anybody pick it up? They're worthless here. So many of them, they're worthless. Nobody cares about them. He says, they're diamonds. So he's schmoozing with the innkeeper and he says, well, what do people consider important? He says, if you want to know, what's really important on this island? He says, yeah. The big businesses? He says, yeah. It's schmaltz. Chicken fat. Schmaltz is the big business on this island. People need schmaltz for cooking, for oils, for this. If you want to make it big, take my advice. Go into the schmaltz business. He says, this guy isn't sugar. Goes up to his room. He could barely fall asleep, but he says that he's so exhausted. He gets up, and he looks around in the morning, and it's not a dream. The place is still full of diamonds. First thing is, he has to head off to the luggage store. Nobody's picking up diamonds. So, he gets to the luggage store, and starts smoozing with the guy from the luggage business. Also, again, asking about the diamonds. It's worthless. So many diamonds around there. Nobody pays any attention to them. What's schmaltz? Everybody keeps talking about schmaltz, schmaltz. So the uncle says to himself, I'm here on the island for a year. Because the next boat is in a year's time. What am I going to do for the next year? So I got to get a job. So he starts asking around. And he gets a job in the schmaltz factory. And for the first time in his life, Yankel is successful. In a short period of time, he's made enough money that he can become an independent schmaltz dealer. He has his own schmaltz factory. And the months go by, and he becomes one of the biggest schmaltz dealers on the island. He has workers working for him. He's doing amazing. It's unbelievable. He doesn't have to get up so early in the morning. His workers take care of anything. He has a good foreman. Months and months go by. There he is, lying. He's not long in the inn. He bought himself a nice house. He's lying there in his bed, relaxing one morning, late in the morning, maybe having some breakfast in bed. And he hears a sound. He says, it's a strange sound. He says, oh, I know what that sound is. That's a ship's whistle. Of course I know what that sound is. A ship's whistle! He takes a look at the... That's the ship! The ship that comes once a year! He forgot totally about it. Quickly, he jumps out of bed, runs over, and the ship has already been there for a while. So he quickly books passage on the ship to go back. I said, but we're leaving very soon. He quickly calls on his workers, and he has his suitcases. He says, quick, take my suitcases and my trunks and fill them up with schmaltz, as much schmaltz as you can. So they come, and they start putting in schmaltz and schmaltz and schmaltz. Quick, one suitcase, two suitcases, bunch of suitcases. And the ship is about to leave. It's a last minute, last call. Everybody has to get on board. And they quickly put on the trunks. They bring in the suitcases and the trunks, and they stop lowering it, and they're bringing it on the baggage area, etc. Finally, the ship's about to pull out, and Yankel is running to get onto the ship before it pulls away. When all of a sudden he bends, he takes a look, and he says, but the diamonds! And the ship is leaving, and he bends down, and he picks up one diamond that's there at the shore, puts it in his pocket, and jumps onto the ship, and he made it. 2 days later, the passengers start complaining about this terrible stench that's on the ship. Within 4 days, the whole ship stinks. And the captain orders a search of the cabins to find out what's causing this awful, awful stench. They start searching and searching and searching until they get to the baggage area where Yankel is keeping his suitcases of schmaltz. And the hot sun. It's hot. The workers open up the baggage area. Can't breathe. Call the captain. The captain says, what's in this? That's my schmaltz! I have to take my schmaltz back. He says, are you crazy? He says, tells the sailors, take everything and throw it overboard. The uncle goes, no! That's my schmaltz! And he says, no, don't take it! Orders the workers quickly, take him away, hold him back. And the uncle's crying, take my schmaltz! My schmaltz! My schmaltz! No, 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 no. They don't listen to him. Every last suitcase of schmaltz is thrown overboard. And that's it. Schmaltz is gone. Finished. The whole year. And then begins a long 6-month journey. After the storms and the pirates and this and that. But finally, he arrives back on the mainland. Finally gets back to the big city. And he gets on a horse and buggy. And 2 years after he left town, the horse and buggy pulls up in the shtetl, and people can't believe it. Yankel is back! Unbelievable! And nice! They quickly run and call Yankel's wife, and Yankel's wife comes running, Yankel, Yankel, you're alive! I can't believe it! So that was Yankel, I was it! Yankel can't talk, he's finished, he's sachut. He says, I can't. He says, I just need to lie down, I'm exhausted. He goes back to the house and he takes off his jacket, lies down in the bed, falls fast asleep. Good wife, she takes the jacket, she hangs it up. She feels in the pocket, something bulging in the pocket. She puts her hand in the pocket. She takes out a diamond. That one diamond that he picked.
Yankel! We're rich!
Yankel's dead to the world. He's not. He's so fast asleep. Yankel! She can't believe it. She says, I have to go. She goes to somebody, says, where am I going to do it? She says, quick, take the wagon to the town and go to bring it to a jeweler. She goes and brings the diamond to the jeweler. The jeweler looks, it's a good diamond. This diamond is worth thousands of rubles. She can't believe it. Unbelievable. This is it. Finally, they'll be able to fix the hole in the roof. Buy new shoes for the children, right? Maybe get themselves a wooden floor instead of the dirt floor. Maybe have chicken there once a week. That's unbelievable. Yankel, Yankel. She comes back home, and Yankel, she shakes like a wake. So I'm Yankel, Yankel, oh, I love you, I love you. That's unbelievable. Yankel, look, I can't believe it. She takes a look at Yankel, and Yankel isn't so happy. Yanka, what's the matter? She said, look, you brought back a diamond, a big diamond. He said, I could have had dozens, hundreds, thousands of these diamonds. They didn't bring it back. Yanko, what were you doing the whole time on the island? He said, I was busy, I was working. What were you working with? I was collecting schmaltz. Schmaltz? Could have had diamonds, and you collected schmaltz? And all you brought back was one diamond? That's it? Says the Chafetz Chaim. We come to the island. Some of us come to the island for a short period of time. As Hashem, we're here at the island for longer, for 70 years, for 80 years, up to 120 years we're on the island. And the diamonds all over. We call those diamonds something else. We call them mitzvot. They're free of charge. You can take and collect as many as you want. But don't be fooled. Because most of the people on the island don't value these diamonds. They think that they're not worth anything. When they spend their entire time collecting schmaltz. And yes, it is true that before they leave the island, people do pick up a diamond here and a diamond there. And it's very nice. But when you pick up only one or two diamonds, and you could have picked up hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands, you're going to regret the day that you spent your time collecting schmaltz. Because when you get back on that ship that takes us all back to where we came from, to get to this island, the captain of the ship, with a capital C captain, doesn't value schmaltz. And all the schmaltz that you collected in the island begins to rot. And it's thrown overboard. It doesn't help you. So don't be satisfied with collecting just a diamond or two. You can have hundreds and thousands. Don't spend your time collecting schmaltz. You've all had an amazing opportunity this year. The year is not yet over. To understand the value of diamonds. But don't be fooled when in a few weeks' time you go back to a world outside the Dalet Amos of this Beis Medrash. To a world where, unfortunately, there are a lot of people who value schmaltz much more than they value diamonds. Keep your bearings. Remember what's important. Don't be like Yankel and be satisfied with a diamond here or a diamond there. Remember what's truly important. What are truly diamonds? What's not important? What's just schmaltz? As the saying goes, diamonds are a seminary girl's best friend.